New sermon series on the book of Daniel. And in today's sermon, I'm going to be talking about the importance of integrity and how God calls us to live out our faith by living above the crowd. As I do that, I'd like to begin by telling the story of Kate, who's the wife of a full-time seminary student. Like many wives of seminary students, Kate was earning money to keep her husband in school and food on the table. And Kate was fortunate enough to find a really good paying job. She worked for a major pharmaceutical company as a quality control inspector. Then one day, because of faulty procedures, the automated machines produced a large order of syringes that became contaminated and therefore failed inspection. Kate reported the problem to her boss, who quickly pulled out his calculator and added up the cost of redoing the whole order. But because so much money would be lost by replacing the syringes, the boss ordered Kate to sign the inspection form, even though the product was still contaminated. But she refused. And because of certain federal regulations, only Kate had the authority to sign that inspection form. If she didn't sign it, the syringes could not go to market. So the boss urged and threatened her, but she wouldn't budge. The impasse between Kate and her boss led to a visit from the company president. He also added up the cost of reproduction, and he gave his decision. He told Kate, the forms must be signed. He told her she could have the weekend to think it over. And if the forms weren't signed on Monday morning, she could lose her job. And so the stakes were high because this was Kate and Doug's only source of income. It was a good paying job and it wouldn't be easy to replace. If she lost her job, Doug would have to drop out of seminary. The hopes and dreams and career plans of many years would be shattered, all because of the choice that had to be made. For this young couple, everything they claimed to believe in was being tested. Their faith, their obedience to God, their integrity, it was all on the line. Should Kate sign the inspection form and send the contaminated syringes to market like she was told to do? Or should she refuse and risk her job and possibly their dreams? How about you? What will you do? And how well do you score on your own tests of integrity? Kate's predicament is similar to what God's people have been faced with in all ages. And the days of Daniel are no exception. Daniel and his Hebrew friends faced great risks when their integrity was tested. And this morning we're going to look at one of those stories. In the first chapter of the book of Daniel, we find Daniel being recruited to serve the king of Babylon. And we'll see that this was somewhat of a predicament for Daniel. In chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, Rob, what's a nice Hebrew boy like Daniel doing in a Babylonian palace like this? Well, it all started about 3,000 years ago when the Jewish king in Jerusalem, he compromised his integrity and started to worship other gods, pagan gods, and stopped obeying the living God, the God of Israel. God had made a covenant with the people of Israel, promising that he would care for them and bless them if they obeyed his statutes. But they disobeyed. And if they disobeyed, God said he would discipline them and scatter them amongst the Gentiles. And for decades, the prophets had warned the rulers of Judah that their idolatry and their immorality and their injustice towards the poor and the needy would lead to the nation's ruin. The prophets saw the day coming when God would bring the Babylonian army to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and take the people away as captives to Babylon. But the king and his court did not repent. They did not act justly toward the poor and the needy, and they continued to worship pagan gods. And so God, in his sovereignty, sent the Babylonian army. And this is what happened in Daniel's day. When he was only a teenager, Babylon conquered Jerusalem, and they carried away many people as captives. And Daniel was one of those captives. He was taken from his home in Jerusalem and was exiled to a foreign land. Now, as far as captives go, Daniel was the cream of the crop. He had royal blood in him. It's believed that he was a descendant of King Hezekiah, which means he grew up in the best neighborhood in Jerusalem and went to the best school. And because of this, he was selected by his captors for the Babylonian Advanced Education Program and called to serve in the king's palace. Now, given Daniel's options at the time, it was actually a pretty good opportunity for a young Hebrew slave. He could receive a top-notch education, and he'd eventually have an office in the king's palace. And that's a lot better than working in the hot sun every day making bricks. And so, unlike many others, Daniel had a real future and a life to look forward to. It seemed like he had it all. He had it made. There's only one catch, however. To do everything the Babylonians were asking of him meant he had to sell out. He had to turn his back on everything that he was taught as a young Hebrew boy. It meant compromising his obedience to God and his laws. Now just think of the pressure that Daniel faced. He was separated from his family. He was living in a foreign country. His parents were probably dead. If he didn't obey the king, he too might be killed. But he had no way out. All he had to do was go along with the crowd. All he had to do was leave his old life behind and start a new one. All he had to do was compromise his standards and his faith, something everybody else in Babylon seemed willing to do. All he had to do was join them, and life would be easy. And there may be times when we find ourselves in similar circumstances, one where small compromises can smooth things over and make things easier, when maintaining our integrity seems too risky. Maybe the cost might seem too high, and we think to ourselves, hey, just this once. If I compromise just this once, it'll make things so much easier. Hey, Daniel, if he took that approach, no one would have pointed a finger at him. No one would even notice. But Daniel would know, and God would know. And so he made a decision. In verse 8 it says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Daniel was immersed in a Babylonian world, but he never forgot who he was or the God he served. And he became very intentional about remaining faithful. Daniel was determined not to defile himself. In other words, he drew a line that he wouldn't cross. He wouldn't do anything that dishonored his God. Now we see in this story that Daniel doesn't seem opposed to working for the Babylonians, but he draws a line when he's asked to eat food and drink wine from the king's table. And so why did Daniel take a stand here? Why did he draw the line here? What was wrong with the royal food and wine? We know that he wasn't a vegetarian or someone who abstained from wine, because later in the book in chapter 10, Daniel refrains from eating meat and wine, from eating meat and drinking wine for a period of 3 weeks of mourning, which implies that he normally ate meat and drank wine. But there were probably two problems with the food and wine that the king had offered. First of all, some of the meat was unclean according to the Mosaic law. So Daniel wasn't willing to compromise by disobeying God's command not to eat certain foods. Second reason was because all the meat served to the king's table was offered to idols. Daniel would not compromise by eating meat offered to idols or to false pagan gods. In Daniel's day, eating food sacrificed to idols was a sin, something God had forbidden his people to do. And Daniel wasn't willing to cross that line no matter the cost. Today we live in similar circumstances as Daniel did in his day, in the sense that we live in a secular society that constantly puts pressure on us to adopt their values and practices. In a secular society, God's word is not consulted in issues of right or wrong, and any commitment to God's higher authority in matters of ethics or morality is dismissed as foolish and unsophisticated. And so there are many circumstances in our day where Jesus' followers are pressured to compromise. We are asked to adopt the values of society even when they contradict the values that are taught in Scripture. Like Daniel, we are often pressured to cross the line. So Daniel's story confronts us with this question. Are you willing to risk to protect your integrity? Are you going to follow the crowd or follow God? Are you willing to pay a price to do what's right? These are very real risks. Kate refused to sign the inspection form for the contaminated syringes, and she lost her job because of her integrity. She was not willing to disobey God's command to be honest and upright. She wasn't willing to cross that line, and so she paid the price. And there are times when your integrity will cost you something. People might turn against you. You may suffer or pay a price for your honesty. But remember, Jesus told us, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. He says, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Living a life of integrity can be very challenging. When we take a stand for integrity, we often face opposition. And that's exactly what Daniel discovered. Starting in verse 9, it says, "Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But he responded, 'I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded.'" A lot of pressure to compromise comes from other people, especially those who are affected by our decisions. And when you live a life of integrity, there will be times when people oppose you. There may be even times when they accuse you of wrong motives. They may accuse you of being self-righteous or self-centered. They'll come against you just like the chief of staff came against Daniel because he was scared and he wanted to save his own skin. But it's never wrong to do the right thing, even if others don't like it. Each of us are accountable for our own decisions. And compromising our integrity to cover up other people's mistakes or to compensate for someone else's lack of courage or to help someone else gain something is not honoring to God. Integrity is not something that we can have when it's convenient and dismiss when it's not. If it's not consistent, it's not integrity. Daniel wasn't persuaded. He didn't cave in and compromise because of the chief of staff's opposition. But notice that he also didn't become judgmental or antagonistic either. He didn't call the chief of staff a spineless puppet or a two-faced friend. Instead, Daniel reasoned with him and offered a solution. Starting in verse 12, Daniel politely makes a suggestion. "Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water," Daniel said. "At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see." The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. Daniel's integrity wasn't about being better than anybody else. It wasn't about self-righteousness. It wasn't even about self-discipline. It was about honoring God in the choices that he made. It was about being authentic. It was about walking the talk, about a faith that is real. Poet Edgar Guest wrote, "I'd rather see your sermon than hear it any day. I'd rather it should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes are better pupils and more willing than the ears. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. The best of all the teachers are the ones who live their creeds, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs." One of the best witnesses we have in the secular world is the testimony of our integrity. The measure of integrity that we live by speaks volumes to people about the reality of our faith. People are watching you to see if what you believe actually works. If we can't demonstrate it in our actions, then why would they believe us? The best teachers are the ones who live by their creeds. And Daniel is an example of someone who did that. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, "The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them." So what is integrity? The dictionary defines integrity as adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. In Hebrew, the word for integrity means to be complete or solid It means more than just a portion or a fraction of something. If someone has integrity, it means they have moral character and ethical principles that guide their entire life, not just a portion of it. Integrity means the absence of deception and is the opposite of hypocrisy. If you are a person of integrity, you'll do what you say. You have integrity if you complete a job even when no one is looking. You have integrity if you keep your word even when no one checks up on you. You have integrity when you keep your promises. Integrity also includes financial accountability, personal reliability, and private purity. A person with integrity does not manipulate others. They're not prone to arrogance or self-praise. Integrity even invites constructive criticism because it applauds accountability. It's sound, it's solid, it's complete. Integrity is rock-like. It won't crack when it has to stand alone, and it won't crumble when the pressure mounts. Integrity keeps you from fearing the bright light of examination or resisting the rigorous demands of close scrutiny. It's honesty at all costs. But there are some things integrity is not. It's not sinless perfection. A person with integrity does not live a life absolutely free of sin, because no one does. But someone with integrity quickly acknowledges his failures and doesn't play the game of cover-ups. Your integrity is important because it defines to others who you are. When someone thinks about who you are, inevitably they will think about whether or not you have integrity. People want to know if you're for real. Your integrity is important because it determines how you'll react in certain situations. When you are faced with circumstances where you have a choice to either do right or do wrong, your integrity, or lack of it, will determine what you do. Your integrity is important because it demonstrates your spiritual condition. If you have no integrity, then you will have a spiritual problem, because God wants us to be righteous and to reflect His character. Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Integrity reflects the character of God. I've heard it said that it's not what we eat that gives us strength, but what we digest. It's not what we earn that makes us rich, but what we save. It's not what we read that gives us knowledge, but what we remember. It's not what we preach that makes us Christians, but what we practice. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to practice integrity. And Daniel was a person who did that. And God took notice of Daniel, and He blessed his life. Now, the narrator concludes the story in Daniel chapter 1 by sharing this happy ending with the readers, starting in verse 17. He says, God gave these four men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of wisdom, of literature and wisdom. God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was complete, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we'll read about later in chapter 3. We're told that the king was impressed with them. It goes on to say they entered the royal service. In other words, they all succeeded. And then in verse 20, it says, when the king consulted them in any matters requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. And what we see at the end of this story is that God was in control all along. He had a purpose for them to be in the king's palace, a much greater purpose than Daniel realized. In a similar way, we might find ourselves in a difficult situation, one that tests our integrity. We might conclude that we're in the wrong place, but we also might be wrong. God might have a purpose for us that we don't see. And that's why it's so important for us to maintain our integrity in each and every situation. What if Daniel had compromised his integrity? What would have happened if Daniel had defiled himself by disregarding God's laws? Do you think God would have still blessed him in the same way? I think God was able to use Daniel in extraordinary ways because of his integrity. And I don't know specifically what purpose God has for you in your life, but I know that walking in integrity is a big part of it. The Babylonians may have taken Daniel away from Jerusalem, but God never abandoned him. And as Daniel continued to walk with God, he experienced God's favor. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." When we walk in integrity, we put ourselves in the place of God's favor. Remember Kate, the woman who was forced to leave her job at the pharmaceutical company? Well, God did bless her. She didn't sign that inspection form for the contaminated syringes. Because of it, because she didn't sign it, the order was not delivered to the customer on time. And officials from the purchasing company wanted to know what happened, and so they investigated the delay. And they discovered how Kate had protected them from these contaminated syringes, even at the cost of her own job. And the customer then hired Kate and increased her pay. God blessed her because of her integrity. And the same is true for us, that when we walk in integrity, we put ourselves in the place of God's favor. I'm not saying that you won't experience persecution or saying that you'll always end up with a better job. But besides that, the grace rewards that God gives us are not the ones that we receive here on earth anyways. It's our reward in heaven. And having integrity isn't just about rewards. It's about being the very, very best version of ourselves. It's about being the person God has called us to be. And most of all, it's about honoring God in everything that you do. And so when it comes to integrity, let's have the same heart and mind that Daniel did. As we finish this morning, let me leave you with the words of Psalm 25, verse 21, where the psalmist declares, "May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you." May that also be our testimony. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for a testimony of a man like Daniel in Scripture. And Father, as we look at his example, we are reminded again of the importance of our own integrity. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word to teach us right from wrong. And we understand that we live in a fallen world and not everyone understands those principles. And Lord, may we be a light to others as we live by what you've taught us. And may you fill us with your Spirit, that our hearts would be soft towards you, that we'd have hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone. And may you write your laws upon our hearts. May your word and your Spirit guide us in our life as we face times where we have to make choices, Lord, that involve our integrity. And may we walk with you and step with your Spirit, doing the things that honor you. Lord, we thank you that you bless your people. Lord, we ask you that your favor be upon us, O God, as we do what is right. Help us to have the strength and the courage to represent you, O God, and to be a witness for you through our actions and our integrity. Lord, help us to walk the talk. Empower us by your Spirit to do that. We thank you that you set an example for us. We ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.